Over to the meetings over at the Bible Baptist Church this week. I thought one of the messages that I might preach would be entitled, Where Will You Spend Eternity? Where will you spend eternity? There's only two places. Heaven or hell? The lake of fire. The lake of fire, the final place of torment for those who die without Christ. There's a question that everyone needs to ask and to answer. And as we said earlier, if you've not come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary's cross, it'll not be heaven. It'll be the lake of fire. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. And now I feel like we're moving along at, what do they say, Mach speed? And that's zooming. We got out of the first chapter. We're through the second chapter already. So, third chapter we're ready for tonight. I think it would be, well, 21 verses if we read the whole chapter this evening. This is, you might say, the mystery chapter. It's not a mysterious chapter, but it's the chapter about the mystery and the mystery revealed. Let's begin reading with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Tonight we want to begin with verses 1 through 7. They are the first section that we want to deal with. And I've labeled the point, the mystery made known to the Gentiles. The mystery made known to the Gentiles. It starts off with, first of all, in verse 1, and Paul making it clear that he, Paul, was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Elsewhere in the Scriptures, he's called a prisoner. In the book of Acts, which we've been studying on Sunday morning, and Mike has done a great job in sticking with it, and we completed it this morning. And whether we just turn around and go back through it again or not, it remains to be seen. A lot there, but it's important. The book of Acts is important for any church to study and to look at and to grab hold of. Because in the book of Acts, we have the church that Jesus organized, and we have it growing and going. And of course, when you get to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, a man named Saul of Tarsus, is saved and begins his ministry, which he talks about here in this 3rd chapter of the book of Ephesians. So Acts 23 and verse 18, and if I remember my studies correct, this is where Paul is taken prisoner. Verse 18, "So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say." So they'd already taken Paul prisoner, and Paul the prisoner, this man is referencing Paul the prisoner, wanted to have something to say. Also, in the book of Ephesians, he not only says that he is a prisoner here in this 3rd chapter, but he begins the 4th chapter with the same terminology. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." Then we go over to the book of Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 7. While he doesn't use the word prisoner, you see if this doesn't imply that he is a prisoner. "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." He said, even in my bonds, Well, he was bound. Even if you consider that when he got to Rome, Caesar didn't feel it prudent to leave him bound in chains, but he was still in bonds, was he not? He couldn't come and go freely as he purposed. He was under house arrest. Two soldiers were assigned to guard the house. And it possibly was as much for his protection, probably wholly for his protection, because there were Jews at Rome, and the Jews wanted him dead. And so it was probably mostly for his protection that he was under house arrest, not allowed to freely go like you and I can go. I mean, we can just go wherever we are pleased to go if we have the means and wherewithal to do it. But he said he was in bonds. In verse 13, he says the same thing. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. I want you to notice in Ephesians, the third chapter, and here in Philippians, the bonds that he has are in Christ. What's he mean that he's in a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's he mean that he's in bonds in Christ? He's in bonds because of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a prisoner because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and it angered folks. And if you read history, Fox's Books of Martyrs, can't think of others right now, but Fox's Books of Martyrs and others, Paul, even though he was under house arrest at Rome, eventually, two or three years later, I think he was beheaded. I think it was Peter. They crucified Peter, but he had one request upon his crucifixion. Not to be set free, but that they turn him upside down. Why? Because he didn't want to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus Christ was crucified. He did not feel worthy to die in the same manner that Christ hung there on the pole, the tree. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. He said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, now it might help if I read the fourth chapter. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He references the same mystery that he's talking about over in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. He references that mystery here in Colossians. He says, of which that mystery I am in bonds for. I'm a prisoner for of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second Timothy, in his second letter to the young minister Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 8, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Men and brethren, women, don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to speak His name, nor of me His prisoner. Don't be ashamed of it. They might put you in jail. They might put you in prison. They might put you in bonds. They might even kill you. But don't be ashamed to speak His name. You see, Paul realized, and don't think we'll get to it tonight, but he realized the importance of preaching the gospel. Even if they put you in prison, even if they put you to death. Listen, it's the only means by which God has ordained that men might come to Him. It's through the preaching of the gospel. Philemon. In verse... I think it is verse 1. Verse 1 and verse 9, I think. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. See? Again, he makes mention of the fact he's a prisoner. Yet for love's sake, verse 9, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, why was Paul a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Well, you say, for preaching the gospel. Well, but preaching the gospel to whom? Well, preaching the gospel, he says, to the Gentiles. He says, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Interesting, is it not? You see, Paul's main ministry was the Gentiles. It angered the Jews that he went to the Gentiles. I mean, you know the Jewish history. You know that Gentiles were as dogs, as swine. They were filthy. They weren't to have anything to do with them. And here Paul was going to them, amongst them, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not even telling them that they had to be circumcised and keep the law. What angered the Jews? But it wasn't so much that as it was the message of the gospel. It's about Christ. And they hated Christ. There again in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Peter and John are put in prison. Why? Because they proclaimed the name of Christ. And they were let out and they were commanded not to speak anymore in this man's name. And in chapter 5, they turn right around and they go back into the city and they're preaching Jesus Christ again. Did not we tell you not to speak anymore in this man's name? See, they hated Christ. His main ministry, as we said, was to the Gentiles. As he mentions, the Gentiles, the Ephesians were Gentiles. The book was written to the Ephesian church, which were Gentiles. In chapter 1, chapter 2, he was speaking to the Gentiles. He was speaking concerning the Gentiles. And yes, in chapter 2, he was speaking how in comparison of them to the Jews, but he was speaking of the Gentiles to the Gentiles. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In verse 7. It says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, they were the uncircumcision, was committed unto me, Paul speaking here, to the Galatians, as the gospel of the circumcision, the Jews, was unto Peter. You see, Peter and the other apostles primarily were to the Jews. Paul was primarily to the Gentiles. However, in every city he went into, if there was a Jewish synagogue, he went first into the synagogue and preached Jesus Christ. And then he went to the Gentiles. Romans 1. Book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Throw away, if you have a Bible that's not King James, throw it away. They all remove the ETH off of there. Even the ESV, which are some of our brethren, Baptist brethren, have embraced and are using it from the pulpits. And it just says, receives, believes. To everyone that believes. Well, that's a one-time thing. This believeth denotes that it has to be always continually present. In other words, you believe today, you believe tomorrow, you believe tomorrow, you believe tomorrow, you continue to believe. How long do you believe? You believe until you're dead and in the grave and you believe in heaven. I can't emphasize that enough. They change God's word when they drop letters. Awful words. Oh, let's finish reading. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Keeps on believing. "To the Jew first, and also to the Greek." To the Jew first, he said. And then to the Greek, to the Gentile. Chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, he said, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first." And also to the Gentile. You see, it's to the Jew first. It's always to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. And Paul followed that throughout his whole ministry. Every city. We just recently traced Paul's missionary journeys, four of them. We're right up to his fourth one being into Rome. And that was the first place, if he was able, first place he went was into the synagogue and preached Christ. And then to the Gentiles. But here, he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. There again, you got to go back to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and this was on his first missionary journey. He and Barnabas were sent out from the church at Antioch in the first part of chapter 13. But in chapter 13, and let's read a few verses. I want to go up to verse 38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren," Paul speaking, "that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. through this man Jesus. And through the man Paul is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What is that accounting? That accounting is, and it's account. And to the sinner, without Christ, that account is full of vile, stinking, wretched sin. Well, how do you get rid of that sin? By repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of sins. In this man, Christ Jesus is forgiveness of sins. And by belief, he said in verse 38, belief comes justification. Well, belief is counted for righteousness. Can righteousness and evil dwell together in the same account? Are they going to dwell together in heaven? Are they going to dwell together in the new city, Jerusalem, and the new earth? No! You read Revelation chapter 21. That which is evil is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Verse 27 of chapter 21 says, and nothing that defiles or is abominable shall enter therein. Righteousness and evil cannot dwell together. Therefore, by faith, righteousness is credited to our account. Sin is gone from the account. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I that are saved don't ever sin again. Boy, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we never sinned again. But no, that doesn't mean we don't ever sin again. It just simply means that all the sins from the time of my birth till the time of my death have been taken care of in Christ Jesus. Been forgiven. The account is wiped clean. And righteousness, the righteousness of God, is in its place. Well, I just got sidetracked a minute. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You see, the Jews, well, they didn't think too much of Paul's preaching. But they put up with it, and they exited the synagogue. But the Gentiles came and said, we want you to come preach to us. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. They were manifesting a heart that had not been regenerated, weren't they? And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, you Jews. It was necessary that we first preach to you first. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life by rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So So Paul's ministry was to be to the Gentiles. First of all, to the Jews, but predominantly to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, many, many, many of the Gentiles would hear and believe. How many believed? Brother Mike, how many believed? Verse 48. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Verse 48, verse we didn't read. And that got me. And that got you. If you're here and saved tonight. Verse 2 of our text. If ye have heard, if ye have heard, is he asking a question? No, he's not asking a question. It literally implies, inasmuch as ye have heard. It's actually what Paul was stating. Inasmuch as you have heard. Well, heard of what? The dispensation of the grace of God, he says. What is he talking about? The dispensation of the grace of God. Well, generally, this word dispensation means a time period, an age. We are in, but have been since Adam and Eve, an age of grace, haven't we? We would say, we tend to look at the Old Testament and say, well, that was the age of law. And you disobeyed and you were put to death. But let me ask you this. How was Adam and Eve saved?
By grace.
By grace. You see the grace of God in chapter 3 of Genesis. Pure and simple. Genesis chapter 6. How was Noah saved? By grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, for salvation, it's always been the age of grace. Sinful man does not deserve to be saved. What does sinful man deserve? Damnation, destruction, condemnation, the lake of fire, brimstone. I deserve. You deserve to be cast in the lake of fire. But God. Ephesians 2:4. But God, you see, Christ Jesus, by faith in Christ Jesus, I'm not going to have to face that condemnation. I'm not going to have to face that damnation. You know, someone stood in my place. Well, we preached that this morning, didn't we? Well, I don't know. I might be confusing four messages in 3 days with another message. Someone stood in my place. Jesus Christ stood in my place. He suffered a separation from His Father. Can you imagine what it was for the Son of God, who did no sin, to be separated from His Father? I'm not talking about when He left heaven and He came to earth as a man. I'm talking about when he hung there on the cross, bearing my sin, bearing your sin. And he cried out, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. Which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt those lonely hours. He felt that separation from God. And he endured that for me so that I wouldn't have to face an eternal separation in the lake of fire from God. Did he do it for you? Did he do it for you? The dispensation of the grace of God. Generally, that word means a time period or an age, but not here in our text. Dispensation here means management of a household. Is it beginning to register with you? Are you beginning to get excited about it now? Management of a household or household affairs. So he's talking about a stewardship. He was a steward. He was a steward of the grace of God. He was a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so am I. So are you. Are you not? First of all, are you saved? Second of all, if you're saved and you're a member of the Lord's church, you're a steward of the grace of God. You're a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you not? Last week, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. All truth. What's truth? Jesus Christ. Our first and foremost responsibility is the gospel. Preach the gospel to all the world, to every creature. Those that are saved, baptize. And teach them more truth. And teach them more truth. And teach them more truth. Acts chapter 9. Well, Brother Mike, we're spending a lot of time in Acts tonight. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, said unto Ananias, that is, go thy way, for he, Paul, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see? God had a message. God was going to give him the stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. You see? 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 11, Paul tells Timothy, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He had a stewardship. What was his stewardship? Management. It was a management of a household. Household of the gospel. The household of faith. To take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. preach it and teach it unto them. And so he was a steward. He was a steward of the grace of God, as he puts it in our text here, to the Gentiles. And he took this stewardship very seriously. Very seriously. Talked with Brother Bowen this afternoon. He told me he was going to preach tonight on some of the things that this morning's message was on keeping on, keeping on. Doesn't matter what circumstances come in to your life, keep on keeping on. The Lord. And so tonight he's going to preach on the Apostle Paul and the things that he endured, but he never let them get him down. He just picked himself back up and kept on going. Kept on going. You look at all that Paul says that he endured for the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. Never let it get him down. He took his stewardship seriously. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. He said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. I make it glorious. I honor it." Well, how do you honor an office? Well, you honor it by doing it with all that you have and to the best of your ability. Certainly, as we look at the Apostle Paul, did he not do that? The book of Romans in chapter 15, in verses 15 and 16, he said this, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God," God's grace given to him. You see, you and I, we're recipients of grace. That is, we had grace given to us. Repentance and faith is the gift. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Verse 16. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." You see, he recognized his stewardship and he did it. He took it seriously. Do I take my stewardship seriously? Do you take it seriously? Look with me at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards," talking about stewardship, "that a man be found faithful." Are we being faithful stewards of the Lord? Look at what he said over here in the first chapter. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and look at verses 17 and 18. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." He's not saying that he wasn't to baptize. He's saying, my first and most important thing was to preach the gospel. I can't baptize anyone if I don't preach the gospel first and the Lord save them. Boy, us Baptists need to get a hold of that. We want to labor on the doctrines of grace, church truth. Our first responsibility is to preach the gospel. A person can believe the doctrines of grace and die and go to hell. They can believe church truth and die and go to hell. They must believe in the only begotten of the Father. And His shed blood. That is, that it was shed for Him, for me. So many of our sovereign grace, Landmark Baptists, have left off. You don't hear them saying anything about the gospel. All you hear them talking about is the doctrines of grace. And even to the exclusion of church truth. I mean, there are brethren that have joined in with the Reformers just because the Reformers believe the doctrines of grace and the Reformers don't have church truth. His first responsibility was preach the gospel. That's your and my responsibility. Preach the gospel. And then baptize whom the Lord saves. And then we get to teach them. Well, this is how your salvation came about, which is the doctrines of grace. This is how your church membership came about. You see. Chapter 2. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have some more. We're out of time. But I want you, in closing, to compare those scriptures with what I have here. One more. Galatians chapter 1, in verses 15 and 16. They told him what his life was before Jesus Christ, before the Damascus Road, how that he was a good Jew, and he was doing God's service by persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Well, I delayed. Well, I don't know enough yet. I got to learn some more. Well, I got to go out here on deputation and get some funds because, you know, I got to live. No, immediately! I conferred not with flesh and blood. And he went into Arabia. How many of you know what Arabia is? It's a desert land. He went out into the Arabian desert. What did you do out there, Paul? He was taught and instructed of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's what he's talking about. That he experienced. Immediately he conferred not with flesh and blood. He went into Arabia. And when he was done in Arabia, when Jesus Christ taught him the truth, he come face to face with Jesus Christ. Whether he was caught up into heaven, he was in the third person. He says, I was taught of Jesus Christ. And then he went to Damascus. And what did he do at Damascus? He preached Jesus Christ. And then after 3 years, he went to Jerusalem. And what did he do at Jerusalem? Well, he met Peter and the other apostles, but he preached Jesus Christ. And I think it was that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, brother. I think it was that occurrence right there when he went to Jerusalem that time that he angered the Jews so much that they let him down out of the window in a box, right?
I don't think that was the same time.
That wasn't the same time? Okay, I wasn't sure about that. That popped into my mind. I wished it had popped into my mind in the study, then I could have researched it before bringing that up. But nonetheless, immediately, oh, we got to do all this and that. We got to learn more. I don't know enough. Well, tell people what happened. Tell people what you were, what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's all you got to know. You know what Jesus Christ did for you. What did that blind man this morning? Well, there again, I'm not sure whether it was this morning or what. That blind man, what did that blind man know? Once I was blind, now I see. What? He didn't even know whether Jesus was a sinner or not. He said, "This I know, though. Once I was blind, born blind, but now I see." That's all we have to do. Tell people what Jesus has done for us. Well, we got to close. Shall we stand? We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget our time of fellowship in the back afterwards. Brother Mike, do you want to dismiss in prayer, please?